The primary election is almost here. Vote centers will be open May 7th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make your vote count. Visit vote.indy.gov for more information. This message was paid for by the Marion County Election Board.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Coming up, we got a big-time scoreboard update. Last one at the top of the hour, 5 full minutes of scores. If I'll stop talking, you can get 5 minutes. Let's turn it over to the star of our show, Network Indiana's Eddie Garrison.
Thank you, Coach Lovell. 60 minutes to go on Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Purdue advancing to the championship game in college basketball for the second time in program history, the first time since 1969. In that one, they were not victorious. They lost to UCLA 92-72. Today's final over the NC State Wolfpack, 63-50. Zach Edey with another Zach Edey-like performance. 20 points, 12 rebounds, his sixth straight 20-10 game in the NCAA tournament. That is a tournament record. He talked after the game on TBS on what he's feeling now that he knows he's playing for a national championship game Monday night.
Yeah, it's the one we've been talking about for all year. It's the one I've been talking about for 4 years now. To be able to play in that and accept that challenge next game. You know, whoever comes out this next game is going to be a great team, but we're going to lock in on game plan and execute.
After the game, Matt Painter gave his thoughts on how his team played.
Very competitive game. I thought we were very competitive, thought we played hard. We just didn't play great. I don't think either team played great. You know, if you kind of look at their run to get here and our run to get here, both teams were way better offensively than you saw today. But that happens in basketball at times. So you got to give our guys credit for hanging in there and grinding one out. Really, we've grinded it out the last two games. But, you know, when it's freewheeling and you're scoring the basketball, it's more enjoyable to watch. It's more enjoyable to play. It's more enjoyable to coach. But to win a championship and get six games and be able to win six games, you're going to have a couple games in there, a game or two, to where you just don't play as well offensively, and you got to find a way to win that. So congrats to our guys for finding a way to do that.
Purdue with their 34th win of the season over NC State. It looks like they will be taking on the Huskies. They're in the final 20 seconds. UConn is up 14 on the Alabama Crimson Tide, 86-72. All five starters for the Huskies in double figures. Stephon Castle leads them all with 21 points. Donovan Klingon has had a monstrous second half. He's got 18 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 blocks for the 7-footer in the middle for the Huskies. Cam Spencer, who was playing in the Big Ten last year, he was with Nebraska. He has 14 points for the Huskies. Mark Sears leads all scorers, though, in this contest. He's got 24 points for Alabama, as it looks like their season will come to a close and his college career will come to a close. In Major League Baseball, the Reds defeat the Mets today 9-6, come from behind fashion. They were down 5-3, and this one they come back and win 9-6 after a 5-run eighth inning. The Reds are now 5-3 on the season. They'll wrap up the 3-game series with the Mets tomorrow afternoon. St. Louis Cardinals, they defeat the Miami Marlins 3-1 this afternoon. St. Louis now 5-4 on the season. They're undefeated 2-0 in St. Louis. Miami on the hand, 0-9. Yeah, they have yet to win a game. Not a good start for the Fish down in the South. St. Louis 3-1 over Miami. Chicago Cubs, they fall to the Los Angeles Dodgers 4-1 tomorrow. The Dodgers look to go for the series win, but the Cubs can say the same thing because the Cubs got them 9-7 yesterday. Final today, 4-1. Dodgers 8-3. The Cubs are 5-3. The Detroit Tigers, they were off to a stellar start this season. 6-2 now after today's loss. They were shut out by the Athletics from Oakland 4-0. The Minnesota Twins fall to the Cleveland Guardians 3-2. The big news today for the Indiana Pacers, Herb Simon, he's inducted into the Naismith 2024 class for the Basketball Hall of Fame as a contributor. He's been a longtime owner of the Indiana Pacers. Hats off to Mr. Simon. In minor league baseball, the Indianapolis Indians played a doubleheader today. They won the first game 5-4 and the second game 7-5. They're now 5-3 on the season. The Loons topped the Tin Caps 5-4. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Eddie Garrison.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Minor league baseball tonight. This one just wrapped up not long ago. In 10 innings, Quad Cities beats the South Bend Cubs 3-2. Voice of the Cubs, Brendan King, joins me. Brendan, lose it in the 10th. That's a tough one tonight.
It's the blessing and the curse of the game, Coach. You know that, coaching the game, playing the game, that's how things go, and especially nowadays, of course, when it's the extra inning rule where a runner is automatically placed at second. Both teams are going to get an opportunity, and that's exactly what happened tonight. We had two men on in the top of the 10th that did not score, and you know, that gave way, and that gives some energy, of course, to the other side. You know, it's kind of, if you can equate it to basketball, Coach, it's kind of like when there's 30 seconds left in the basketball game and you're playing defense, you get a stop, and, you know, maybe there's 20 seconds, you get an opportunity. So
right.
I think you can look at it as South Bend had their chance, just failed to execute, and Quad Cities is able to put it away in the bottom of the 10th. But good ball game and a tough night to play, Coach. It was this is one of the nights where kind of the surroundings of the park here in Davenport really affect the game. Like I told you last night, the ballpark is positioned right on the Mississippi River, and the wind is just howling in. You know, it's Wrigley Field times a million, where the water is just outside of the park, and wind is blowing in. Any ball hit in the air was knocked down right away, Coach. So it was not – runs were at a premium, let's just say that, and that's how the game ended.
So you had the river effect tonight instead of the lake effect.
That's right. And, yeah, I've been coming here for a number of years, Coach. Quad Cities is now in our division. We're in the West Division, so is Quad Cities. We used to be in the East, so we come here more often now. So, yeah, early in the season especially, you know, in the summer it's not as affecting because it's warmer. But on a cold night where it's in the 50s, the wind is not only going to make it feel colder, the wind is just going to stop any baseball from traveling. And
so it's blowing in. Is it blowing in? Yeah. Is that it?
Blowing in off the river. So there was no shot.
Yikes. Plus, pitchers, you know, you're throwing a live ball now. You get a little boost from the wind behind you. So this is tough. This is a tough thing. So they have two on and don't score, not able to move the ball at all?
No, and, you know, like I said, it's the rule now where you automatically get a runner in extra innings. So South Bend picked up a walk in the 10th. So there was then a sacrifice bunt. Runners go to second and third and just not able to execute, Coach. So one of
got
those
it.
Where
Yikes.
You know that's gonna
Yikes.
Happen. That's gonna happen as the season goes on, and that's ball.
Yeah, you know what? We talk about timely hitting. good starting pitching, you know, make plays, those kinds of things. Yikes. I like the rule, though. I mean, I don't disagree with the rule. I think it's kind of interesting. I think it's innovative, but you got to move runners, and you got to step up and make plays at the right time. So give me some positives other than the fact that they drop a tough one.
Yeah, I think just like yesterday, starting pitching was on point. Grant Kipp, returning South Bend Cub from last year, he was good in four innings, gave up two runs, struck out five. Midwest League debut coach for a right-hander named Sam Armstrong. He was drafted by the Cubs last year. Two scoreless innings of the seven batters he faced, coach, he struck out five of them. Had a wicked slider going. Looked sharp. So looking like he'll be a nice bullpen piece for us. And the kid that I told you about last night, coach, our shortstop, Jefferson Rojas, you and me are going to be talking about him a lot because he homered last night, RBI single tonight. Mm-hmm. He's got two ribbies through his first two games, and he's only 18 years old. That kid can play.
Sounds like it. All right, what's up for tomorrow?
Series finale here in Davenport, coach, so we'll play tomorrow at 2, possibly some rain on the way, so we'll see what happens with that. But no matter what happens, we're ready. Home opener Tuesday night, Four Winds Field. We're ready to go in South Bend. Can't wait. 1st to 6, and it'll be good to be back at the yard with some warm weather expected, coach. Looking like we're going to be in the mid-60s, which rare for this time of year. Yeah.
All right. Next time you and I talk, you'll be live from South Bend. I'm looking forward to it. Brendan King, voice of the South Bend Cubs. The Cubs lose to Quad Cities tonight in the 10th. They lose 3-2. Brendan, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Talk to you next week, coach.
Thank you. Coming up, Garrett Weininger from Fishers High School, 4A champions in boys basketball. First, the star of the show, Network Indiana's Eddie Garrison with a scoreboard on Indiana Sports Talk.
The stage is set for Monday night. The UConn Huskies have won, and they are looking to go back-to-back Monday night as champions of the NCAA tournament. They defeat the Alabama Crimson Tide 86-72. They outscore Alabama by 10 in the second half, 42-32. All five starters for the Huskies are in double digits. Stephon Castle leads them in scoring with 21 in today's contest. Donovan Klingon, 18.5 rebounds. He had four rejections as well. Alex Carabin with 14 points. So does Cam Spencer in today's game. And Tristan Newton, their point guard, finishes an assist shy of a double-double. He had a dozen points. Only 7 bench points in this game from UConn. So their starter score, 79 of their 86. Alabama season comes to an end. They end the year 25-12. Mark Sears led him in scoring. He had 24 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists. Grant Nelson, he had 19-15. That is rebounds. Only 3 players in double figures for the Crimson Tide. UConn, 36-3. They will be taking on 34-4 Purdue. They won against the NC State Wolfpack this afternoon, 63-50. They neutralized DJ Burns. Only 8 points in this one for the March/April sensation of the tournament. Zach Edey, 20 points and a dozen rebounds. Braden Smith struggled, only 1 of 9 from the floor, 1 of 5 from distance, but he was a terrific point guard. 6 assists while grabbing 8 rebounds. The championship game, Monday night, 9:20 on TBS.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. State championships last week. What a great weekend. I have to tell you, what a fun, fun weekend. Especially fun for Fishers High School, their first championship in a long while. With me, the head coach of Fishers High School, Garrett Weininger. Coach, a belated congratulations to you and your kids on a fantastic championship win, a tremendous championship season, and again, congratulations on a great accomplishment.
Thanks. Heck of a year. Obviously, a great group of guys, and just happy we're able to finish it out.
Take me back in the summer when you're notified one of your star players is, you know, you've gone through some of your workouts, some of your summer stuff. You find out you're going to lose a key player. What kind of an impact was that, and how did you guys manage to handle that?
Yeah, obviously, you know, it was a little shocking, especially after going through the whole month of June. You know, you're playing games with a certain roster and thinking it's going to be a certain way. So as a coaching staff, I really just made it clear we're going to try to make this seem like nothing happened. Like, you know, obviously we're going to address it with the team. But then after I address it with the team, I really don't want to hear about it again. Like, we're going to move forward. And we still believe that we had the right pieces in that locker room that could be a really good team. And to our guys' credit, you know, as soon as limited contact started in the fall, I feel like they never really missed a beat. You know, we had a group that worked really hard and that bought in. And did we think we'd be 29-1 and sitting where we're at? Probably not. But I do think by the end of limited contact, as the season started, I think we did know we had a chance to be pretty special.
I was always taught as a coach, your number one job is to take the available talent and coach it. And there's a lot in that expression. You can't worry about who you have and who you don't have. You can't worry about how tall and how small. This is our team. We need to coach them. We need to coach them up. And so you and your staff did a great job. But your kids, to their credit, in this day and age, Garrett, getting 9 kids to buy into sharing the ball, sharing time, working together and toward a common goal is not very easy.
Yeah, no, definitely. Our guys are really unselfish, you know, and I do think they bought in at an early time in the season. Like, if we, you know, I just keep telling them, like, we're not going to have the best 1, 2, and 3, but I believe we can have the best 1 through 11. And I really think they bought into that message. And every game, it was a different guy who stepped up. And the more we went through the season and other guys stepped up and other guys had big games and they really started to trust in each other and know that 1 through 9, you know, guys could make big plays. I think that's what made us dangerous, was that, you know, it was hard to scout because we did have 9 guys who could come in and make an impact on the game.
It also meant that you could put 9 guys, you could put 5 guys out there who were fresh and who were focused. And I have to believe that having that kind of depth also made each practice you had pretty competitive, because you know what? You can figure it out. You got to elevate your game because minutes are going to be hard to come by, and you better play as hard as you can play every minute you're on the floor.
Yeah, as much as any team I've been around, that was what stood out, just how competitive our practices were. I mean, there were several, you know, our starting group wore white usually, and there were several days when the white group was on the line at the end of scrimmages and red had just kicked their butt. That's how good our second five was. And Coach Byers used to talk about how Coach Knight said that about one of his championship teams, that the second group would win a lot. And I really do think that prepared us. Even going into the Ben Davis game and throughout the tournament, being able to have a scout team that was, you know, could really replicate the size and length and skill to an extent of the teams we were playing, I think it allowed us to be very prepared each step of the way.
Well, speaking of the teams you're playing, you play some of the best in the state. Your schedule is tremendous, and it has to be a strong, a big indicator of why you had such great success, because you were a battle-tested group.
Yeah, you know, obviously when you play in our conference, you're going to be tested regardless, but we did anticipate this group being pretty talented, so our schedule was set up pretty difficult, you know, playing in the Forum with a really good matchup there, going to Illinois and playing the number one team in Illinois, who ended up winning their state title. Just having a variety of games against different styles of opponents. You know, once you get out of our sectional, things are going to change with style of play. So just trying to make sure, regardless of the situation, that we had experience in those types of games. And I think we ended up playing the third hardest schedule in the state, and I think we were battle tested. And a lot of these guys played last year when we lost 12 games. So I think they've been through losing, and we're battle tested against tough competition.
Well, you know, it's a joy to have those kinds of kids who understand one another and understand what you're doing and pull together. Was there a period in the year, a game or a stretch of games, when you and the team collectively began to see that the goal of being able to win a championship was within reach?
Yeah, I think after the Carmel loss, I think how we responded to that really let me know. We were 16-0 going to the Carmel game. You know, I'd played really well, kind of surprised a lot of people. And then I feel like we got complacent going into that game. Just our practices weren't as good as they have been. You know, sometimes when you're winning, you don't fix everything you need to fix. And guys get complacent and get comfortable. So we lost that game, didn't play very well, and I really feel like it woke us up. And I kind of told my staff, like, after that game, we had Westfield, who was top five in the state, Cathedral, Homewood, Flossmoor was number one team in Illinois, and Lawrence North back-to-back-to-back-to-back. And I was like,
wow.
We respond to this game, how we respond to this loss and come out of this is going to tell us how good we are. And we were able to, you know, go on a run there and not lose another game. So credit to our guys for bouncing back after a tough loss.
You had to be asking yourself, why in the world I put that schedule together? After, you know, after Carmel gets you, now you're looking at that group. You're sitting here at home, I'm sure, on nights going, oh, my goodness, what have I done?
Yeah, it's a pretty tough stretch. You know, when you look at the schedule, I think we had Westfield, I think, was third in the state, then Homewood, Flossmoor, number one in Illinois, then it was Cathedral, who was fourth at the time, and LN, who was number one at the time before we beat him. So we're looking, playing three of the top five teams in Indiana and the number one team in Illinois in like a 10-day stretch there or whatever it was. So, yeah, it was definitely daunting, but we were able to find a way.
All right, so how many of these kids come back for you for next year?
Yeah, so we played nine, and of our nine guys who played consistent minutes, we have six of those guys back, three starters back, and six of our top eight scorers back. So obviously losing some key pieces, but we'll have a lot of guys back with experience. So it's exciting going into the offseason, knowing you still have a lot of guys back who have played a couple years.
Well, I got to tell you, I instantly became a fan of yours during the season when I sent you a text asking you to call the radio show. And you remember this, don't you? You sent back a picture. A picture from the hospital where your wife had just given birth to your is this your first child?
No, this is my third, actually. I got a three-year-old, a two-year-old, and a newborn. So we're busy around here.
Yeah. So I get that picture while I'm on the air, and I look at it, and I think the guy's a winner because he'll take the time to respond to a text under these circumstances. What a year for you. Birth of a child, birth of your third child, state championship. I can't be happier for you. I think it's a fantastic story. Garrett Weininger is the coach at Fishers High School, the 4A champions, and it's a great story. And Coach, again, congratulations. Best of luck to you and the family, and best of luck to you and the team.
Thanks, Bob. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Coach Garrett Weininger, the head coach at Fishers, the 4A champions. It seems like a long time ago, but that was actually last Saturday. It was a week ago tonight. And congratulations, obviously, to Coach and his team on their win. And congratulations to everybody, you know, for their wins. This was a fantastic weekend, and you know, Brownstown Central with a win, and obviously Fort Wayne Canterbury with a win, and who am I forgetting? Somebody I know. That's embarrassing, but congratulations! What a great year of basketball it was for all of us, and we, you know, turn our attention now to Monday night. Hopeful that the Purdue Boilermakers will be able to finish it off. Got a matchup with the defending champions, the UConn Huskies. Going to be playing the Boilers for, let's say, a championship. They are the defending UConn, the defending champs, and so we got a lot to talk about. Scoreboard update coming up, then we'll talk with Kip Westner from Hoosier Basketball Magazine. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
With this Network Indiana Sports Talk scoreboard update, I'm Eddie Garrison. Earlier today, it became official that Pacers owner Herb Seidlin will be inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame as a part of the 2024 class. As a contributor, he was on ESPN after the announcement to share how he was feeling about being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Well, it's incredible. I thought it was a mistake when my name was mentioned. I've never blocked a shot. I've never dunked it. And but then I realized that there's a contributor category, And to be in the with Doug Collins and a good friend of mine, Jerry West, I'm wishing him well right now. To be in that category made me so proud and humble. So I'm very, very pleased to be here.
Herb Simon has been around the Indiana Pacers and the NBA for a long time. He was originally born in New York City. He's also had some ownership group with the Pacers for some time, with his brother obviously being the owner prior to him. Minor league baseball today, so congrats to Herb Simon, by the way. Indianapolis Indians, they had a doubleheader against the Memphis Redbirds. Game one went in their favor, 5-4. Game two also went in their favor. Final score, 7-5. The Fort Wayne Tin Caps, they are still in search of their first win on the young season. They lost 5-4 to the Great Lakes Loons, so they're 0-2 in this season. The South Bend Cubs, Brendan King recapped that earlier podcast shortly. They lose 3-2 in extra innings to the Quad Cities River Bandits.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. DrivenToSaveLives.org is their website. Purdue wins. Everybody knows that. Also, big news, top 60 workout for boys tomorrow, presented by Hoosier Basketball Magazine. It's at Marion University. A huge Purdue fan and publisher of the aforementioned Hoosier Basketball Magazine, Kip Westner, joins me. You have to be on cloud nine right now, Kip Westner.
Yeah, not just a Purdue fan, but a Purdue alumni.
Excuse me for that oversight.
Yeah,
yikes.
Exactly. You got to get your tidbits right. No, I'm just joking. Building construction technology is what I went to Purdue for, and met Gary Donna at Mackey Arena in, I don't know, 91, and didn't pick up a hammer or a slide rule or a plumb bob or anything after meeting Gary Donna. So worked out.
Imagine
worked
that.
Out pretty well. But yeah, before
pretty
we
well, absolutely.
60, I got a few tidbits. Number one, my son Craig and I will be on a flight Monday morning to head towards Glendale, Arizona. I've talked to the guy to make sure my credential's still there, because I wasn't able to make the game today because
we're
tomorrow. But yes, I will be in the building for the national championship.
I'm happy for you. Good.
Which is very exciting. And most of your listeners know all these little tidbits, but I want to run through them real quick. 50 years ago, Purdue won the NIT. 25 years ago, Purdue won the women's NCAA championship. In 1969, Purdue was a runner-up, and Rick Mount was the all-time leading scorer for Purdue at the time. And in 1980, Purdue made the Final Four, and Joe Barry Carroll was the all-time leading rebounder. And now, in 2024, Zach Edey is both the all-time leading scorer and the all-time leading rebounder, which are interesting tidbits. But there's two more. Here's my favorite. Matt Painter is 53 years old. John Wooden's first national championship was when he was 53. And, you know, I'm a Martinsville native.
Right.
So, got to include the Martinsville tidbit. And then the last one, I just got a text on this, which is just kind of funny.
Okay.
The last total eclipse that happened in Indiana was in 1869, which was the year that Purdue was founded. And it was exactly 100 years before I was born. So when you throw in the Kip Westner, Martinsville, Purdue ties, how can Connecticut have any chance on Monday?
No need to play on Monday. This
I'm
one's
glad
in the bag.
You enjoyed that little tidbit, because I know they're out there, but it's
no, that's fantastic. It really is. The stars are aligning, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, it's and you know, today when Fletcher Lawyer, that three-pointer that he hit going into halftime, I thought that was a huge shot. And Kaufman Wren, the way he played well inside at the beginning of the game, I thought was big. And
right,
of course, Lance Jones was incredible. So
Lance was big. He was huge.
It was a really good game for Purdue. I think that Connecticut will be a different type of challenge for them. But hey, when the tournament started, I thought there were two teams that Purdue might not be able to beat. I thought they could beat all the other 20 or 64 teams or whatever, 16. Mm-hmm. And that would have been Illinois and UConn. Well, UConn beat Illinois, and Purdue's going to have a chance to see what they can do against UConn. So, yeah, that's all good and exciting. But, hey, real quick, I know you've got some more stuff to do. And I
No, listen. Take your time. I know you have to work.
I want to tell you about the top 60 senior workout, which is tomorrow.
Okay, good.
Marion University starts at 12:45 a.m. Or, no, I'm sorry, 12:45 p.m. That would be just in a few hours. And the doors will open at 12 noon. It's $8 admission, cash only. We've got a multitude of outstanding players, including 20-point-per-game scorers, Division I players, Indiana State champions from the IHSA tournament from last weekend. So it's a great group of senior talent that will be on display in front of the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Committee with Mike Broughton and his coaching staff, as well as college coaches, because – actually, there are 40 players that are unsigned, which seems like it could be a record.
Wow.
That's a good opportunity.
That's a lot.
For the coaches.
Right.
Whereas, like, on the girls, we talk about this with the girls, there's like 12 to 15 where the girls seem like they get their situation lined up early and the boys wait as long as they possibly can. And I do think that whole COVID and the extra year and the portal has kind of been some bad news for senior players.
No, I agree with you.
For basketball, because, you know, you're going to take a portal person that's in their 20s over a teenager maybe. But the interesting thing about these seniors is you can have them and develop them and bring them as your own. So hopefully there'll be some colleges that find some players, because every year there's a good turnout of colleges for this event.
What always impresses me about this event, Kip, number one, is how well it's done. The format, the concept of it is great, but it's the willingness of these young men and women in the middle of all the things that they're doing to take the time to come to Indianapolis to be a part of the event and really take it seriously and take it as an important event. And their buy-in has to be gratifying to you, because that's what makes it such a special event for everyone.
Well, it really is. And in fact, I think I mentioned last night on the show about having some communication with coaches that didn't necessarily even talk about the opportunity for an Indiana All-Star. Just being at the top 60 was something that players shoot for.
Yeah.
And I think that that's very gratifying to hear. But also I learned from the best. You know, Gary Don created this event. We had one or two players kind of in waiting, because every year there's a sprained ankle or someone in a boot some sickness. And it happened today. I sent out a new press release. You can go to my Twitter account or social media and see the updated press release, because whenever I was able to contact a coach and say, hey, there's an opening, it wasn't like, oh, well, you know, we got plans or whatever. It's like, hey, what time do we need to be there? So what you're saying is very gratifying. And we've got all the shirts accounted for tomorrow, and now we just got our referees lined up, and Brent Compton and Tara Hote, he's the sponsor for the shirts and always does a great job with the red, yellow, blue, green top 60 t-shirts. And so score clock, referees, PA, it's like a real game with round robin, four scrimmage teams. And like you said, the concept, Gary Donna came up with this idea for the girls over, I think, 40 years ago. Man, time flies.
So right.
This
it's this only, I would point out, only in Indiana. So Sunday, tomorrow at Marion University, doors open at noon, we start to play. And again, I just think from a coach's standpoint, I remember always going because they always needed players. And I think the other part of it, too, is that when you think about the legacies, and, you know, Mike Broughton and his staff for the All-Star game will be there. It's not necessarily a tryout. It's more of an extension of the evaluation process they go through to try to determine the roster. And so I think it's an incredibly important part of our schedule of basketball in our state for the boys and for the girls. And you'll see great basketball. You will see tremendous basketball. And I still laugh when I think about Gary and the conversations he and I used to have about, you know, the top 40. And I would, as you know, I would kid him about the top 40 being the top 50 because he had 10 alternates. And I said, well, let's just call it the top 50. And guess what happens? He ends up, I was relentless in my criticism, if I remember.
Well, I can tell you that for me to try and explain what an alternate was compared to what the top 40 was.
Hey, you know what, Kip? Hang on. Yeah, Kip, I'm sorry. Hang on through this scoreboard update, and we'll wrap this up, okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks. More of Kip Wessner when we come back after this final scoreboard update on Indiana Sports Talk.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
With this Network Indiana Sports Talk scoreboard update, I'm Eddie Garrison. The national championship game is set, the first game for today in the men's college basketball tournament. 63-50 was the final score. The Purdue Boilermakers topping the NC State Wolfpack. Matt Painter's team 34-4 on the season. Zach Edey, Braden Smith play all 40 minutes. Edey, 20 points, 12 rebounds. Smith struggled, though. 1 of 9 from the floor, 3 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. The Boilermakers will take on the UConn Huskies Monday night. They defeat the Alabama Crimson Tide 86-72. All 5 starters for UConn in double figures. Stephon Castle led them in scoring. He had 21 points. Alabama's leading scorer was Mark Sears. He had 24 points. In Major League Baseball, the Reds defeated the Mets 9-6. The St. Louis Cardinals defeated the Miami Marlins 3-1. The Dodgers defeat the Cubs 4-1. The Athletics blank the Tigers 4-0. The Guardians edge out the Minnesota Twins 3-1. And the White Sox were shut out by the Royals 3-0. Minor League Baseball, the Indianapolis Indians sweep the doubleheader 5-4 and 7-5. The Great Lakes Loons defeat the Fort Wayne Tin Caps 5-4. And the Quad Cities River Bandits defeat the South Bend Cubs 3-2 in 10 innings. Tomorrow, schedule 3 o'clock, ABC ESPN, the Women's College Basketball State Final from Rockin' Mortgage Fieldhouse in Cleveland, Ohio. Number 1 Iowa, number 1 South Carolina, 3 o'clock. Pacers in Heat, it's a big one from Gainbridge Fieldhouse tomorrow at 5.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Kip Wessner, stay on hold because I got a treat for you. The voice of the Purdue Boilermakers, Rob Blackman, joins me. By now, you know the Boilers win earlier tonight over North Carolina State 63-50. Rob, thank you. I know you've had an incredibly busy day and night, and congratulations to Boilers. To the Boilers, what a great win. It wasn't pretty. It doesn't need to be pretty. They're playing on Monday. That's the key.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing pretty about that victory. 63 points for Purdue, a season low. But North Carolina State only scored 50. So one thing that's been overlooked, and I'm as guilty of this as anyone this entire tournament, is how good Purdue has been on defense. Purdue has not allowed a team in this tournament to score 70 points or more in any game so far. And yes, Purdue has had some outstanding offensive showings from guys.
Mm-hmm.
Zach of course, the 40-point game against Tennessee, and there have been others that have played well offensively. But if you really want to just get down to the brass tacks about why Purdue's had the success they've had in the NCAA tournament, it comes down to how good they've been defensively through this run, and they were awfully good tonight, holding North Carolina State to just 50 points.
Let me just say two words. Lance Jones, okay? Lance Jones. We're not talking about Monday without Lance Jones.
Absolutely. Let's say one more. I'll add one more. How about Lance freaking Jones? Because he was a freaking awesome today.
Yeah, he was.
14 points, 14 points, made 4 three-pointers. Really good defensively on the ball when Purdue needed him. I was just looking up his updated numbers, actually. He is he's right now 48 points away from being a 2,000-point career scorer. Now, I don't think he's going to get 48 on Monday night.
Right, right.
But it just speaks to how skilled and how talented he is as an offensive player, and the fact that he's become such a great two-way player this year for Purdue, really making a lot of sacrifices, quite frankly, to be, kind of that lead guard defensively that's had the challenge of stopping the other team's best guard on the defensive end. So Purdue doesn't, as you know, Bob, Purdue does not, they don't dabble in the transfer portal very much. That's not what they do. But
right.
The one guy that they got, Lance Jones, that was a pretty good transfer portal get, that's for sure.
I recommend people listen to you rather than the television guys. And here's a perfect example. The television guys are talking about Zach Edey having a rather pedestrian game. He only, 20 and 12 is a pedestrian game. You must be joking.
With 4 assists and 2 block shots and played all 40 minutes.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, that or you need to be schooled in what the actual term pedestrian means, quite frankly. Take your pick. I find it hilarious. But again, I'm partial to the Boilers. I'm not ashamed to say it. I think it's a great story. And listen, it was not their best day. They didn't play well. And, Matt said it after the game. It's great that you can grind one out, especially in the circumstances you're in. You're getting ready to play for a national championship, and you got the fortitude and the understanding as a group to be able to play that way and come out with a W.
And think about this, Bob, and you know this. If you win the national championship Monday night, there's never going to be anyone from now to the end of time that will say, well, but Purdue just wasn't very good in that game in the semifinals. No one's going to care. No one will care about that. Who cares? No. You found a way to get to the championship game. And you know this from coaching college basketball at a high level. If there's one day on the calendar as a coach that you want your team to be playing on, it's that first Monday in April.
Yep.
Because that means you're playing for a national championship, and that's exactly what Purdue's going to be doing.
Hey, I know you've had a long day. It means more to me than you can understand that you'd take the time to call me. Rob Blackman, Monday night I'll be listening to you and I'll be watching it. Go Boilers! Thanks so much for the call, Rob. Have a great weekend.
You bet, Bob. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to come back and talk to Kip Wessner. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Kip Wessner rejoins me. I wanted you to stick around and listen to that interview because I knew I had him on hold. That was pretty good, wasn't it?
It was great, yes, and I appreciate being able to hear that. I was actually 2 seats down from him at the Detroit final. So I'm hopeful that I'm 2 seats down from him on Monday night, but that's a big building. So I'll probably be near the top, but that's okay. It's really exciting for Purdue alumni and Purdue fans and just the whole longevity of 44 years of trying to get back to the Final Four. And the times they've been there, they played 2 games because, in 1980, it was a consolation game.
Right.
Just if you're going to go out, you might as well win it. That's the take on it. So
was the 81 at Market Square? Was it 81 was here in Indy, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I didn't go.
I was at that game.
I remember Joe Barry Carroll as a player, and actually Jerry Seastein was on the team 79 and had graduated. They were in the NIT that year. I think played IU maybe in the championship. And then the next year, Purdue was in the Final Four. So, yeah, Lee Rose had a couple of good seasons. And
yeah,
I think Katie took over in 81. So, but I want to mention a couple of headliners for the top 60 for tomorrow. Of
course, please do.
Purdue, Jack Benner, from Brownstown Central, 2A state champion, committed to Purdue. He'll be at Marion University as part of the top 60 senior workout that we'll have starting at 12:45. The doors open at noon at Marion University on the west side. And then also Evan Haywood from Brebeuf. They had just an outstanding season, came up on a overtime loss to Garen Catholic in the sectional, but had a ranked number one most of the year. Anyway, he's going to Butler. So you got two Division I Indiana players that will be participating along with many other outstanding class of 2024. So come on out to the gym tomorrow at Marion University.
All right, Kip, I wish you the best. It's one of my favorite events. I know how much you work at it, how hard it is, but also how special it is to kids in our state. So congratulations in advance. Thanks so much for spending time with me. Have fun the rest of the weekend, okay? And especially have a great time on Monday night, okay?
Yeah.
All right, Kip, thanks. Have a great weekend. Kip Wessner from Hoosier Basketball Magazine. Top 60 workout tomorrow at Marion University. Opens up at doors open at noon. Get out, watch some great basketball. You can always watch basketball in our state. That's the beauty of being Hoosiers. Fun weekend. Congratulations again to the Boilermakers. We wish them the best on Monday. Hopefully we'll be talking about a national championship next weekend on the show. My thanks to everyone involved, Eddie Garrison, Jake Lane. Thanks to our great stations around the state that bring the show every Friday and Saturday. And thanks to all of you for making us most listened to sports talk show in the state's history. It is the history-making, legendary Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.